Thank you, Dr. Brinkley. Good morning, everybody. So today I'd like to present the preliminary results of our study, Outcomes Following Transient Ischemic Attack, Do Primary Stroke Centers Make a Difference? For this study, my research team used hospital administrative data in California to examine how patients with transient ischemic attack who were treated at a primary stroke center fared in terms of later risk of stroke. So I worked on this study with the California Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention Program, and I'd like to thank one of my co-authors, Dr. Lily Shafu, who is in the audience this morning. So I have no relationships to disclose. So I'll start off with some background information about transient ischemic attack, or TIA. So TIA is characterized by stroke-like symptoms lasting less than 24 hours. It is sometimes referred to as a mini stroke. Each year in the United States, there are approximately 250,000 to 350,000 TIAs. When an individual has a TIA, it is an important warning sign that a stroke may be imminent, as nearly half of all individuals who have a TIA go on to have ischemic stroke within the next 5 years. And TIA disproportionately affects older adults, men, and African Americans. The good news is that preventive care following a TIA can reduce the risk of stroke or of having another TIA. Both medications and lifestyle changes can prevent patients from having another TIA or stroke. Medications can help bring blood pressure, cholesterol, and diabetes under control. Antiplatelet therapy, such as a daily aspirin, may also be prescribed by a doctor to prevent blood clots. Quitting tobacco use, losing weight, reducing sodium in the diet, drinking less alcohol, and exercising can also help overall cardiovascular health and help prevent stroke. Now, just a little bit of background on primary stroke centers. There are currently more than 925 primary stroke centers certified by the Joint Commission in 48 U.S. states. 124 of those are in California. Primary stroke centers are hospitals that are deemed to provide exceptional stroke care. They are required to meet specific criteria, ensuring that they are providing evidence-based care, including designated acute stroke teams that are available at all times to evaluate any patient with stroke-like symptoms within 15 minutes. The team must include a physician with experience diagnosing and treating stroke and at least one other healthcare provider. In addition, primary stroke centers must provide support for patient self-management of their health condition, such as assisting them with medications or with checking their own blood pressure. Primary stroke centers must also conduct stroke prevention education in their community, including information on stroke prevention, symptoms, and the importance of calling 911. And EMTs are actually trained to bring patients with stroke-like symptoms to primary stroke centers. Finally, primary stroke centers must report quarterly on 8 performance measures to the Joint Commission to demonstrate that stroke treatment protocols are being followed. So there's a small body of literature on primary stroke centers which has demonstrated that patients who are treated for stroke at a primary stroke center are less likely to die following the stroke than patients seen at a non-primary stroke center. However, we are not aware of any published studies on TIA patients treated at primary stroke centers. So our research question was, compared to admission to a non-stroke center certified hospital, does admission to a certified primary stroke center affect the likelihood that an individual presenting with TIA will have an event within the study period? And we looked at 3 types of stroke-related events: ischemic stroke, subsequent TIA, and death from a stroke-related event. So we used 3 administrative data sets for this study: California Emergency Department data from 2006 to 2008, California Patient Discharge Data Files 2006 to 2008, and California Death Statistical Master Files 2007 to 2008. Our study population included individuals presenting with TIA in California hospitals in 2007. We excluded those that had a stroke-related hospitalization within 180 days prior to the index TIA, as well as children under 18. And we followed patients until the end of 2008. So hospitals were defined as a primary stroke center for the purposes of our study if they were certified by the end of 2008. Our study included 98 primary stroke centers and 228 hospitals that were not primary stroke centers. So we used a competing risk model for the analysis. The competing risk model is a type of survival analysis that is appropriate for frail or elderly populations, which are at risk of death from other causes in addition to the event of interest. So this model better accounts for the fact that individuals in our study may die of non-stroke related causes before they have a second TIA or stroke, since they are also at higher risk for other conditions such as heart disease. So this table shows some of the key characteristics of our study population. Over 9,000 TIA patients were included in our study, nearly 4,000 were seen at a primary stroke center, and over 5,000 were seen at a non-certified hospital. Overall, the patient population was quite similar between those seen at a primary stroke center and those seen at a non-primary stroke center. However, patients seen at primary stroke centers were generally a little bit older, and there were proportionately fewer women, more white patients, and fewer black or Hispanic patients at primary stroke centers. So the patient population seen at primary stroke centers in our study would tend to have a slightly higher risk for stroke in terms of age and gender, but slightly lower risk in terms of race. So here are some descriptive statistics on the outcomes for the TIA patients in our study. 18.8% of our study population, which was individuals who had a TIA in 2007, went on to have a stroke-related event by the end of 2008. 18.0% of those treated at primary stroke centers had an event, and 19.4% of those treated at a non-certified hospital had an event. Of those TIA patients who did have a stroke-related event within the study period, the average time to the event was longer by about 5 days for those seen at primary stroke centers than for those seen at a non-certified hospital. However, that difference is not statistically significant. And the median time to event was quite similar for primary stroke centers and non-primary stroke centers at 67 and 68 days. Okay, so here are the results of our competing risk model. After controlling for age, sex, and race, treatment at a primary stroke center was associated with a subhazard ratio of 0.906 for a stroke-related event, which is statistically significant at the 0.05 level. Older age was positively associated, and female sex was negatively associated with having a stroke-related event after controlling for the other variables in the model, both of which are also statistically significant. And none of the race ethnicity variables were statistically significant after controlling for the other variables. So using administrative hospital and death data presents some important limitations that should be noted. The administrative databases don't provide information on the type or quality of care received at the hospitals, such as specific medical treatment and patient education. So we can't tell exactly what the non-certified hospitals may or may not have been doing in terms of patient care compared to the primary stroke centers. In addition, we don't have information on the presenting symptoms or severity of symptoms. So this is actually important for two reasons. First of all, we don't know if patients presenting at primary stroke centers tend to have more or less severe symptoms than those at non-stroke centers. And secondly, primary stroke center protocols are specific to patients experiencing stroke-like symptoms. So we don't know if TIA patients are treated with similar levels of care if their symptoms have resolved by the time they reach the hospital. Also, the information provided by the Joint Commission on the certified primary stroke centers does not give complete information on standard practices at different hospitals. So we don't know if some hospitals are underperforming or overperforming compared to others. And finally, all of our data are California specific and therefore may not be generalizable to other states. So in conclusion, our preliminary results found that after controlling for age, gender, and race, TIA patients seen at a primary stroke center were at significantly lower risk of experiencing a stroke-related event within the study period than TIA patients seen at a non-certified hospital. In discussing some of the possible implications of the study, it's important to note that more research is needed to truly understand why TIA patients do better at primary stroke centers. However, we can surmise that the difference has to do with particular features of the primary stroke centers that many TIA patients are benefiting from. So non-stroke centers could emulate aspects of the primary stroke center model of care, including creating an acute stroke team to coordinate care for patients with stroke-like symptoms, written care protocols, screening TIA patients for high blood pressure, high cholesterol, overweight, tobacco use, and alcohol abuse, prescribing treatments for underlying conditions as appropriate, providing clear discharge instructions tailored to TIA or stroke patients, including medication instructions, lifestyle changes, and any follow-up care needed. And finally, taking advantage of a teachable moment. So patients who have recently had a TIA are likely to be pretty scared by what just happened and be very receptive to learning about how to prevent a TIA or stroke from happening again in the future. So healthcare providers should take advantage of the opportunity to discuss with patients preventive actions they can take. In addition, of course, we might also encourage more hospitals to become certified primary stroke centers. However, certifying organizations should also consider specifying protocols for TIA patients in the primary stroke center certification process, so that it is clear that TIA patients should receive treatment and consultation on prevention of future stroke, even if their symptoms have resolved. And finally, healthcare providers and health educators should continue to educate their patients and the general public about stroke prevention, symptoms, and the importance of calling 911. Thank you.